Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
Yeah, here we go, live from the Oxygen Community Studio, final hour of the show. Luke Lipinski, Jared Carlin in for Bickley and Murata, but most importantly, Sarah Cazella is here with Social Studies.
Absolutely, yes. Positively most important.
Yeah.
All right.
No doubt.
The engine that makes the automobile...
The spandex that makes the car.
The Spanx that keep this show from exploding out.
I was going to say a beacon of light in an otherwise dark day.
Man, y'all are being too nice. Yeah. I honestly don't have the energy today, so all of this hype is like, oh, shoot, I got to drum it up. Okay, here we go.
No pressure, just perfection.
Yeah, that's all we want. All right, let's actually start with a question that was posted yesterday, but we did not have time to get to it as the Cardinals are in the second day of training camp for the 2021 season. Who do you guys think will lead the team in rushing this season? Three options. If there is somebody else, go ahead and throw them in there. But we've got Kyler Murray, Chase Edmonds, or James Conner added in the offseason.
Kind of think it's going to be Kyler Murray, but I'm going to go with I'll go with Chase Edmonds.
Okay, but why do you think it's going to be Kyler Murray?
I don't think it's a good thing if it's Kyler Murray.
So
I'll put it that way.
Well, you don't want it to be Kyler Murray, but do you think it will be Kyler Murray?
Well, because I think he's the best runner of those three.
It's a good thing if it's Kyler Murray if it's like 1,200 yards or something.
Yeah, that seems a little excessive. I want one of those other.
If he has like a Lamar Jackson kind of season, that means that.
But he doesn't want to.
Right. What do you say? His legs are a leisure?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I think it is going to be Kyler Murray because not only I think they're going to do more of the split carries between the two running backs, I also think they're not going to be that focused on handing the ball off. Hmm.
That is probably true.
And
I really just care who can get a fourth and one.
And I don't think either one of them is going to be that effective anyway.
Then that would be a bad thing.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay.
You started by disagreeing with me, and you ended by agreeing with me.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, keep up.
That's how it works. Oh,
sorry, I don't know where
it's called evolving as a person, Luke.
In the span of 9 seconds? Are you DeAndre Ayton?
Because you're
absolutely
slow to evolve. Doesn't
he? DeAndre Ayton. Oh, that was good. That was good. He did evolve in 9 seconds. Okay. It is, let's see. The poll is dead now because this was up more than 24 hours ago. So final results say 39% believe Kyler Murray will be the leading rusher for the Cards this season. 35% are going with Chase Edmonds, and then 27% went with James Conner.
Now, if you said it's bad if Kyler Murray is the leading rusher. If James Conner is the leading rusher, what scenario do you think that is?
That could be okay. He may have just gone off. Like, if James Conner's leading rusher, maybe he has like 800, Kyler has 700, and Chase Edmonds has 600 or something.
Fairly equal contributions. He just happens to be up in front.
We should make one of these really high stakes where it's like, okay, we look back at the end of the year and whoever was wrong loses their job or something.
Oh,
like publicly.
Sure.
Yeah, but not that question.
We can make that happen.
Yeah,
for sure.
But not that question. It's going to be a different one.
By the question, depending on the question I propose, we could lose our job all right now if you want.
I don't think that's what I was asking.
Oh, Jared can make that happen in 9 seconds.
That's really high stakes.
That's true.
Make that happen. Okay, what do you guys think about this comment from AZ Beer Dad? He says, if it is Kyler as the leading rusher for the team, we need to blow this thing up.
Ooh.
How do you feel about that?
That's a little extreme, but he clearly is on the same page with me where if Kyler's your leading rusher, then you're not. Something's not right.
What are we doing here? Yeah.
We were talking about how unbalanced the offense was last year where it was just really kind of Kyler running and Hopkins making catches, which is like, that's great. You have these two wonderful things, but if you only use those two things, you're not going to separate
yourself. Or if one of them is not particularly on that game, you're in big trouble, which we saw.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, moving on to our next question. Last night, Dolphins corner Xavien Howard posted on social media a big long note that he has requested a trade from the Dolphins because he is not happy with his contract. He believes he has outplayed the way he is being compensated. So given the Cardinals' ongoing need for a corner.
Yes.
And Chandler Jones also reportedly previously requesting a trade.
And Gerard Power saying that the Dolphins offered the Cardinals this trade.
Oh. How would you handle the situation? Would you trade Chandler Jones for Xavien Howard? Yes or no?
I think given all of that, given the fact that Chandler Jones has requested a trade, you'd probably have to look at it now, wouldn't you? I don't think the Dolphins would do it. Now, maybe they would. But now they know that Chandler Jones has requested a trade. So maybe they're like, ah, never mind. We don't want to do it. We've got leverage. It's like making a deal with Jarrett in fantasy football. Like once he knows that you want something he has, it immediately becomes the most valuable thing. It's like more valuable than gold.
Good for him.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's right. That's my picks are platinum.
Yeah.
Okay. But I that's how you're supposed to do it, Luke.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
Yeah, so what,
yeah,
what
Luke
you're saying
is not a very
like
good negotiator.
Thing. That's how you're supposed to.
I want everybody to be happy. That's my stance.
Except for you.
Well, Luke yeah, that's made, usually what happens.
Luke has made a trade with every single person in our fantasy baseball league, except me, even though every day I beg him yeah. to negotiate.
That made everybody happy Ooh. And me, actually. Yeah.
Okay, so yes or no, would you make the deal? Jarrett?
I would not make the deal.
Okay.
Because I feel like even though it would plug a different hole, it would open up a new hole for the Cardinals, mm-hmm. and they're putting so much. I think a big part of the reason they signed J.J. Watt is to complement Chandler Jones, not to replace him.
Mm. Absolutely,
I think it comes down to like, do the Cardinals internally see this is going to be a fun year with Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt, and then we're getting rid of Chandler Jones? Because if that's the case, then yeah, you would make the trade. But I do think Chandler is better at what he does than almost anybody is at what they do, honestly, in the league.
Sure. All right, it's close, you guys. Would you trade Chandler Jones for Xavien Howard? 52% say yes, they would.
Wow, okay.
48% say no. For the record, Gambo tweeted about 2 hours ago, 90 minutes ago, I'm sure the Cards love Xavien Howard as a player, but there is just not a realistic way to make the money work. I put a trade possibility at very low. So there you go.
Well, maybe that's why they reportedly rejected it in the first place. Yeah.
Moving on to our next question. You guys were just playing some of the sound from Aaron Rodgers' training camp press conference this morning. Man, he did not seem all that excited to be there.
He did not look that excited to be living.
That's true. Even
he was
though
like
he
unshaven and stringy, greasy hair.
Yeah,
he had on that was.
He chose to return to the team, but he is did. Like negging the Packers at his press conference, talking about how Green Bay is not exactly a destination, and I just want to be involved in conversations that affect my ability to do my job. So continuing to throw shade, even though he and the team have come to some sort of agreement. So we are asking, what was or is the most toxic or disgruntled relationship of all time between a player and a team?
Well, that's a good question. I'm
going to
assume.
Choose from.
I'm going to assume Sarah came up with this question because it's a pretty good one.
I did not.
No.
Jarrett does a good thing every once in a while.
Oh, this is it. Off the top of my head, my first thought is Terrell Owens and any team he was ever on. I know that's not necessarily specific to one team.
Or Antonio Brown.
Yeah, that's true.
And just all the recent teams he's been on.
Antonio Brown and half the NFL.
Yeah. T.O. was a very popular reply.
Maybe that was part of the mechanisms we were trying to figure out yesterday, Jarrett. Maybe one of the mechanisms is Aaron can just rip the team for a half hour every week.
Before, after each game, whether they win or lose,
yeah,
he could just go on a monologue about how much everything sucks with the team.
You know what? I would kind of watch that. I think I would.
This is a good answer, and we mentioned it earlier, but Carson Palmer literally retired rather than play for the Raiders one more game.
That's pretty toxic.
That's pretty disgruntled.
Yeah.
I think the answer is, and it's actually a technicality because it's not a player, but Billy Martin, who was manager of the Yankees, was hired and fired five different times.
It's toxic, but it's something else too, right? Because you keep bringing them back.
But it's like a toxic relationship.
That's just an abusive relationship.
Exactly,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's the answer.
You can't stand to be together, but you also need each other too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Antonio Brown and the Raiders definitely got enough mentions. T.O. a ton. T.O. and the Eagles /T.O. and any team that he's played for. Thailand's Most Wanted says Chris Webber and the University of Michigan.
Mm.
Or another Thailand's Most Wanted submission, Reggie Bush and USC /the NCAA/ the Heisman Trophy Trust.
Somebody said me and Dan Bickley.
Jared, don't laugh at me. Like, you don't make mistakes,
no,
you moron.
Well, that person had a point. Absolutely.
Still one of the best quotes of all time.
Big Poppy says the 2013 through 2018 Phoenix Suns versus Ryan McDonough. Kevin Garnett and the Timberwolves.
Everybody in the Timberwolves for a while there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the big ones right there.
Honestly, I feel like Rodgers has surpassed most of these with Green Bay at this point.
Maybe not Antonio Brown.
No, but I mean, Antonio Brown didn't have those ties. Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers, I guess.
Oh, yeah, that got pretty brutal, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, Rodgers, for the longest time, we're talking about this earlier, is like he's going to go down in history as one of the greatest quarterbacks ever as a Green Bay Packer, and it seems like he hates them now.
Yes. Won't want anything to do with them once he retires.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Not going to be showing up to the community events anytime soon.
No. It sounds like people only show up to those to be around him anyway, based on his quotes today.
That's right. Nobody else wants to be there.
All right. Is that all of them, Sarah?
Well, there's one left, but we don't really have time for it. Is it the pizza one that you retweeted? That was a good question, wasn't it?
Yeah, we could save it for tomorrow.
Yeah, we could touch on it later.
All right. Fair enough. Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right. We come back. We'll get back into Cardinals training camp day two next. Luke Lipinski and Jarrett Carlin in for Bickley and Murata on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata.
I think we're all excited to see what this team can do. I don't mind them having that expectation. Obviously, the progression we've made, 5 wins, 8 wins, I mean, we'd like to keep that going and see where it takes us.
It's Cliff Kingsbury from today. Cardinals head into this really getting going with training camp. We talked about this earlier with, even with Darren Urban when he was on. I mean, this is a lineup that, It's a pretty star-studded roster when you start to look outside the NFC West. I mean, you start to compare it to, like, the Rams or even Seattle and San Francisco, you're like, okay, yeah, this is going to be tough. But when you start to compare it to some of your average team in the NFL, the Cardinals absolutely should be a well-above-average team this season. But the question is, what does that look like? You know, is that translate instantly into a much better record than last season? Are you going to be happy if after going 8-8, they go 9-8? I don't think Cardinals fans are going to be happy with 9-8 this year, do you? No, it doesn't seem like it. Sarah's here. I don't Jared just like wander
no,
off or what?
No, I'll answer for him. No, I don't think they will.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Thank you for stepping in and providing a much better answer.
No, I don't think they will.
No, that's too late for that, Jared. We've already moved on. Whatever that cutoff is, as Darren Urban was saying earlier, it's also gonna be how they got there and like how it looks. Like last year, you finish 8-8. That should be great. That should be progress, but not when you start 6-3.
No, it's terrible. That's why it's not progress at all, and that's why I don't think they took any kind of step. And if they took a step, it wasn't a big enough step.
They definitely took a step. They went from being a 5-win team. They just may have taken another step back at the end of the year.
Yeah, but overall season, like it wasn't, when they were talking about in the offseason, nobody thought it would happen. But if it was brought up, like, should they move on from Cliff Kingsbury at this point, the argument would be that, yes, they are improving, but are they improving too slowly? And is the ceiling where it should be?
That's another reason why this is such a pressure-packed season, is you still have Kyler on his rookie contract, and Steve Keim went out and used that extra money like you're supposed to in the situation. I mean, the best spot to be in the NFL is to have a quarterback that's already really good, but he's still on that rookie deal, essentially. And so you're not paying him big money yet, because at some point they're going to have to pay Kyler big money, so they're not going to have as star-studded of a roster around him.
And Cliff Kingsbury talked about the problems with the offense last year and what needs to be fixed.
You looked at offensively, we led the league in stalled drives due to penalty, and that's, I think we're a top six offense, and had we not done that, who knows what it could have been. You know, that's a lot of drives to give up throughout an NFL season with limited possession. So there's no question, there's little things we happen every day that we got to get better at.
How do you improve the penalty thing, though? You know what I mean, though? Because that's something that happens in the moment in the game.
Well, they traded
Mason
Cole.
What's that? That is one way to do it, I guess. But it's not like they practice doing illegal things and say, oh, just don't get caught.
The pre-snap penalties, though, I mean, you do work on that in practice, essentially, just by working on your plays. Like, you shouldn't be jumping too early, and yet that's all they did last
year. And delay of games are...
Yeah.
Is that the most frustrating penalty in all of sports?
I have to think. Like, I know... I feel like there's certain penalties that just drive a coach more crazy than others. And they all know, like, look, holding could be called on any play. So if there's a big play and holding gets called, like, okay, yeah, that's infuriating. Delay a game has to be the worst. Because then you must just be like, what did we even just work on for the last 6 days? If you can't even, like, snap the ball in time. But I got to say, the pre-snap offside or false start on your own center who's snapping the ball has got to be right up there with the delay a game penalty as most frustrating.
They're all pretty frustrating. I guess it also depends on the context of the play. Because if it's a big play or a touchdown play,
yeah,
no matter what the penalty is that brings it back, it is extraordinarily frustrating.
That's true.
Even if the guy, even if the receiver takes the defender and throws him to the ground and kicks him in the groin, yes, on the way to the touchdown.
Yes. Where are you going?
You're still like, ah, man, I can't believe they called that.
Yeah. They couldn't just let that go. We need more scoring in today's game. Cliff Kingsbury, this is from yesterday, asked about Chandler Jones and just what it means to have him here.
Yeah, no question. I mean, we felt like we missed him last year when he was injured, and he brings such a presence in the locker room, on the field, that to get him back and have him rolling again is going to be big for us.
Now, that's the defensive side. Chase Edmonds, we've played some of his audio throughout the day. We haven't played this one yet, though, talking about a factor that is probably the most likely to trigger a Cardinals improvement this season. That's the offensive line.
They treat this craft, man, like it's the world, and as they should. And it's something that we can really build on.
The offensive line, Jared, should be, if you're looking for areas where the Cardinals have improved.
What did he say just then?
I don't know. The clip said he was talking about liking the makeup of the offensive line.
Oh, that was such a short clip.
It was.
You jumped in there.
It was very short. Let's just say Chase Edmonds likes the makeup of the offensive line.
I didn't even know they wore makeup. Hmm.
Adding Rodney Hudson, you want to talk about unlocking Kyler Murray, hopefully unlocking the running game, maybe allowing Kyler Murray to work through his progressions and throw to guys other than just DeAndre Hopkins. That all starts with the offensive line.
We've said it before that Rodney Hudson, of all their offseason acquisitions, he probably was the least known to the casual fan. Mm-hmm. You know, Malcolm Butler made the Super Bowl play, and J.J. Watson, Subway commercials, and A.J. Green, as you said, was once one of the top three receivers in the league. So those all were splashier names.
And all from the same draft, too, right? Wasn't Butler from that draft?
That's right.
Yeah, weird.
But the Rodney Hudson one, the people who really know football say that was the best acquisition, and that is the key. And Steve Keim pulling that one off was really the key to the whole offseason.
That's why I think Keim is safe. I really do, because now in successive years...
But it still doesn't mean that it's going to work.
No, but at a certain point, when is it out of the GM's hands? You know what I mean? Like, again, Steve Keim has botched a lot of things as GM of the Cardinals, but in the last two off seasons, he has stolen great players from other teams.
Well, he's always great at trades. Always. Always great at trades. Probably his four best moves as a GM are all trades.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because there's not that many trades in the NFL compared to like the NBA or Major League Baseball.
True.
But his best things are all trades, so that's not that surprising. But if you look at him drafting Josh Rosen, in real time people were praising the move, but it was the wrong move in retrospect.
Yes.
So in real time, it looked like he did everything right here. But if it doesn't work out at all, you still have to judge it by the results, don't you?
Yeah, but... Okay.
I do agree, though, that of the moves, the Hudson one is most defensible, is not the right term, but it's the one that was the most no-brainer. The other one, bringing in all the veterans, if it doesn't work out, even though people... like the moves, you could then say, like, well, it was risky because you knew a lot of these guys were on the downside of their career when you signed them.
That is true. I will give you that. But if Rodney Hudson suddenly isn't good this year, that's not Steve Keim's fault. Like, he made the right move to go out there and realize the Raiders were going to do something silly, and he jumped in and got him. And even, like, the Rosen pick, you're right. Everybody at the time, led by Trent Dilfer, thought it was, like, the most brilliant thing ever. But you have to remember, for the longest time, Cardinals fans and people around the team were like, when are we going to draft our eventual quarterback of the future? And then they had a chance to do it. So it's like, you give you can almost give Keim a pass on that pick. It's just all the other picks. It's the I'm going to take Andy Isabella over DK Metcalf. When you have that context, people jump on it. But you're right. Every time he makes a trade, it's brilliant. So text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back, it's a round of start, sit, and cut. It's Luke Lipinski and Jarrett Carlin in for Bickley and Murata on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Yeah, it's right there on the front page of ArizonaSports.com. The Pac-12 media poll has Arizona State football finishing third in the South. Where does the team finish? Jarrett, your options are first, second, third, fourth, or fifth. They at least know they won't finish sixth. I've got my vote.
Why can't they finish sixth?
I don't know. There's only five spots, so whoever does these polls went one through five.
That's an insult to the University of Arizona.
So you think they've locked up six? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying anything. Yeah, third seems right.
I'm going to go second.
Behind?
USC. I'm going to go USC 1, ASU 2. First place leading the way.
Oh, boy, what a surprise.
Jarrett says third, but he's repeatedly clicking on first, apparently, back there. First place has 32% of the vote. Fifth place has 25%. Second has 24. Third has 10. Fourth has 8. Well, that's all over the place. But first place, you heard it here first.
Bickley and Murata want to know, who would you start, sit or cut?
We haven't done this bit in months, literal months, but Luke requested it, and what Luke wants, Luke gets.
That's never what happens, but okay.
Because when Bickley is sickly and Murata's a Ghana, Lipinski is Inski.
And you saw your chance. I'm surprised you didn't pounce with the chance to do mustache, not a mustache yesterday.
I had it ready to go.
The game that stresses me out more than any other game, mustache, not a mustache, and yet I've only done it twice, and I think I've gotten 19 out of 20 right or something. Like some ridiculous point total, but Vince is always just, that man knows his mustache.
Unfortunately,
he sure does.
I had it ready to go from months ago. And it had too many questions about Gordon Lightfoot and Christopher Cross that I thought maybe you guys wouldn't have got.
Yes, I would have finished with 0 points.
Yeah, so I'm waiting for. Well, it will return when Bickley and Murata return. Do not worry.
All right,
or maybe next week.
All right,
depending if we
just
have
less Gordon Lightfoot questions than we should.
I can't promise that. Here's how we work in start, sit, cut. So I will offer you three options,
yes,
and you will metaphorically tell me which you will start, sit, and cut. It's essentially ranking them either in likelihood, which ones you like the most, depending on the question, first, second, and third.
Okay.
And we'll start off with the sports one. We talked about the rushing yards for the Cardinals.
The sports one?
Well, there's only one sports one today.
Okay.
Usually that's half and half, but we talked about who will have the most rushing yards for the Cardinals, but behind DeAndre Hopkins, who will lead the team in receptions, not yards, in receptions behind DeAndre Hopkins? Start, sit, cut. Chase Edmonds, A.J. Green, Christian Kirk. You go first, Luke.
That's going to be that's a very good question, Jared.
I just like to start off with the good one.
With the good one, with the sports one. I want to say A.J. Green. That implies he's healthy.
This is what you think, though. It's not what you hope.
All right, I'll go Kirk, start.
Yeah, okay.
A.J. Green, sit. Chase Edmonds, cut. But I do think Chase Edmonds is going to be their second most dynamic offensive weapon behind Hopkins, not counting the quarterback.
Okay. Sarah?
I'm actually going to go, I think this was the order you presented them in. A.J. Green, start. Chase Edmonds, sit. Christian Kirk, cut.
Christian Kirk, who Vince Murata on this very show once said would lead the NFL in receptions.
I know. And we've been waiting.
This is where we have gone.
I think, the more I think about it, A.J. Green is going to lead the team in receptions.
But behind DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, because last year with like two different quarterbacks, he still had 47.
You could see a scenario where any of the three.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's why it's a good question.
That's why it's a good question.
And here we go.
This one is somewhat sports related because the Olympics are going on. And when you think of the Olympics.
Yes.
You think of Olympic movies.
Oh, of course we do.
And great movies.
We always do.
Now, they don't have the bat. They don't have as many as, like, say, boxing or baseball do, but there has been some great Olympic movies.
There's one that I can think of.
Okay.
I'm
okay.
Still drawing a blank. What are the Olympic movies?
Well, let's start.
Let's see what he came up with.
I'll give you start, sit, cut, and you tell me on your favorite Olympic movie. Start, sit, cut. Miracle. Cool Runnings. The Disney classic.
You don't have to describe it. We know what Cool Runnings is.
And Blades of Glory, the Will Ferrell movie. Have you both seen all three of those movies?
I have not seen all of Cool Runnings.
The other option was I, Tonya.
Ooh, I loved I, Tonya.
I've never seen that.
So I know I'm going to get killed for this. I still have not seen Cool Runnings.
Oh, it's so good.
I know.
Feel the rhythm. Feel the rhyme.
Well, that means nothing to Sarah and only half of it
no,
thing
I've,
to me.
No, I've heard that quoted 100 times, but I still have never seen the movie. I also have not seen Miracle.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Okay, I've said on the air a trillion times, I don't watch that many movies. This shouldn't be that surprising to you.
I don't watch anything.
Aaron Maloney just un-RSVP'd to your wedding.
That's right. I know. Maloney will be crushed when she hears that.
She's going to stand up and protest at the wedding.
She once did the entire speech on the show live.
I know. And I watched the video of it, and it was great. That's the most of Miracle that I've seen, is Maloney doing the speech.
But she has no charisma, and she did that.
Wow, did you just say that out loud?
I sincerely hope she's listening, because now she hates both of you.
She already hated Jared.
Kidding.
Don't worry about it.
That's true.
Okay, so Blades of Glory is the only one of those three that I've actually watched.
Okay, well then.
So I guess I have to rank that one.
You should watch Cool Runnings. You would enjoy it.
Okay.
Dougie Doug's finest performance, perhaps.
That's probably true. So did you give an answer, Sarah?
I'm starting Blades of Glory, and the other two I can't even. I cut them both, I
can't
guess.
Even either after this, to be honest. The clear answer is start Miracle. And then sit Blades of Glory, because as absurd as it is, it's alarmingly accurate at times by the many figure skaters I randomly know.
Mm.
And Cool Runnings is the cut, only because I haven't seen.
All right, well, let's get through some of the other ones here. We are already running out of time, believe it or not. Big movie coming out this weekend, The Jungle Cruise with The Rock. Based on the Disney theme park ride.
Yes.
But what I'm asking you is, if you had your choice of vacation, would you choose a cruise, a safari, or a ski trip?
Ooh.
Start, sit, cut.
Yeah, Luke, do you start?
I'll start the ski trip. Can I go snowboarding on the ski trip?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Same difference.
So start that. I guess sit safari. I got to be honest. I don't sit around wondering when I finally get to go on that safari I've been waiting, but I have no interest in a cruise ship, so that would be cut.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, in an ideal world, too, not necessarily in the pandemic world.
Not where
that
you
we
get
live
stuck
in.
At sea for 65 days.
Where you're
or
eating onion sandwiches at the. No.
Oh, was that your breakfast this morning, Jared? Onion sandwiches.
No, he had the same pizza he had yesterday.
Seriously?
The last of it, yeah.
With a tortilla randomly thrown in, I believe.
No, there wasn't. It was in a tortilla bag.
Oh,
we ran out of Ziplocs. Right,
while still ridiculous, not as ridiculous.
Thank you.
That's incredible. Okay, I am starting, hands down, the safari. That would be incredible.
Wow, okay.
Absolutely. I am sitting the ski trip. It's fun for me for like 2 hours, but then I get cold and wet and I don't want to be there anymore. And then I'm cutting the cruise. I want no part of a cruise ship.
That's
ever.
Right. Okay. You're never going to be on a cruise with me and or Sarah Cazell. Mm-mm. Just get that together. You might see us on safari randomly, but no.
That's it.
Okay. I forgot why I did this question, but I think it's national. I think it's National Cheese Day or something. National
Every
Dairy
Day is
might
National
be National
Cheese
Dairy Day.
Okay.
Maybe it's because Aaron Rodgers trashed Green Bay. Maybe it was that.
Best. Oh, that's perfect. Yes. Yeah. Best dairy product.
Okay.
They're all my children. I can't pick one. Oh my god.
Start, sit, cut. Cheese.
Okay.
Ice cream. Milk or chocolate milk.
Okay.
All right, Sarah.
Or chocolate. Let's say chocolate. Okay.
Oh, well, that's very different.
I'm going to
chocolate.
Cheese, ice cream, or chocolate. Those are the best dairy products.
Cheese and ice cream are my two great joys in life.
Okay.
I think I would have to give cheese the edge.
Mm.
So I'm starting cheese, I'm sitting ice cream, and I am cutting milk /chocolate/chocolate milk?
Yeah, just chocolate is the last thing.
Okay, yeah, I'll still cut chocolate.
Okay,
then.
Wow. I will start chocolate. I'm not a huge cheese fan, but I know if I don't, if I cut cheese, if it's completely gone, Jared's going to be. Yeah, well, I stopped myself before Jared because I saw Jared's eyes light up. If I get rid of that,
I'm going to cut the cheese, guys.
This is like the fifth time he's put cheese in start, sit, cut, too.
It hasn't worked yet.
If I get rid of it, you're going to tell me I can't eat pizza. So I will say sit, cheese, cut, ice cream.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't need ice cream. It's fine.
Ice cream
ice cream is the best. No. Have you ever had frozen custard?
Yeah. Oh, I don't hate ice cream.
Hold on to your wigs and keys. That is fantastic.
Hold on to your what?
What?
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, we're out of time.
Sarah, thanks.
Thank you, Sarah.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you for lowering yourself to be a part of that.
Thank you for demeaning yourself by playing this.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we'll wrap it up with Off the Grid next. The Bickley and Murata Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata. Song of the day.
All right, it is the song of the day, Mr. Jones. Jarrett, are you playing this because you're happy that Mr. Jones is here? Chandler Jones?
Yes, I am. Also, I'm a big Counting Crows fan. Not really, just this song, though. A few of their songs.
They had a lot of songs.
They had a few hits.
You know, the most random friendship, I think, in the world is the lead singer of this band and Aaron Rodgers.
What?
Yeah. Who both went to Cal, I believe.
This guy's friends with Aaron Rodgers?
They talk on, where have I seen it? I think on Twitter.
This was a genius suggestion by you.
Yeah.
It fits into the literal top two stories of the day.
It ties into every story we've talked about. Yeah.
I really liked this song when it came out, though. I still like it.
It's still there. You can still listen to it.
Did you like this song better or the Blues Traveler song?
What's the runaround one? Song?
Wow, you want to give me... It felt like they were both of the same ilk.
Yeah, I like this one better, I think. I would say this. Okay, so part of that is, hey, Chandler Jones is still here, and that's great. But also part of that is the Gerard Powers clip from the Pat McAfee show earlier today.
That's right.
Where he said earlier this year...
He really went off the grid, wouldn't you say?
It is. It's time for Off the Grid, so that's why we're going there.
Bickley and Murata, going off the grid.
Off the grid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you've been hurt in an accident, call Sweet James at 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
And now that we are sufficiently off the grid, this is what Gerard Power said about a trade that he hears was proposed to the Cardinals earlier this year that involved the Miami Dolphins sending Xavien Howard, the two-time Pro Bowl cornerback who's led the NFL in interceptions too the last 3 years, to the Cardinals for Chandler Jones. The Cardinals shot it down. This is what Powers said.
No, that's real. I got a source that. That's real. Now, I don't know if it was like the paperwork of the trade or however it worked, but I do know Miami reached out about trying to do a player-for-player deal with Chandler Jones. And then you look at Chandler Jones, who was he drafted by? A New England guy, right? Flores was there. So you just think that, you know, it'll fit with Chandler Jones going to Miami. But that did happen early in the year. And I think with the Chandler Jones requesting a trade and everything, it kind of blindsided Arizona a little bit just because they weren't expecting anything like this to happen. But Arizona was in a good spot. You know, you had Hassan, who I think signed with Carolina, who was, their number one draft pick a few years ago. You could have signed him to a minimum deal, not a minimum deal, but signed him for lesser money. And got Xavien Howard, shipped Chandler to Miami, and everybody still would have been happy. You still got J.J. Watt. You still got another pass rusher and all that. So I thought it was just a good fit and a good scenario for both sides. But that was early in the year when they tried to do that. And my source that I have now are saying that Miami's just looking for a future one for Xavier right now. So I don't even know if they even want Chandler anymore, but they're looking for a future one for him.
Well, he would solve a lot of their problems, potentially. But as you keep saying, Jared, if you had to give up Chandler Jones to get him, you potentially create other problems.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess technically now, I don't know how it works with the salary, especially if they're holding out money for Larry, potentially. I know Gambo tweeted earlier that it's very unlikely because of the salary.
Yeah.
But right now, if all they want is a future draft pick, it's not off the board that they could have their cake and eat it too.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I mean, you're really sacrificing the future. But what Xavier Howard's salary for this year is a little over $12 million.
I guarantee you they would absolutely be the first team in NFL history to have a Xavier and a Xavier if they did
it. That was like, that was the whole reason I even did the show and got into radio in the first
place. Take that, Luke!
And you took it. And Bickley took the Sam Darnold to Dan Arnold line too when I was in here that day when Arnold got moved to Carolina. I don't even know what the point is at this point. It would be a real nice addition if you could add Xavier Howard. You would be all in on this year. Money-wise, it really doesn't make sense how you would be able to pull it off. But it's an interesting thought because now it's like if you know Chandler Jones wants to be traded, should you revisit this? Or is Miami going to be like, get lost, we know Chandler Jones wants to be traded too, we'll just go after him next year or whatever. So that's certainly food for thought there. Jared, I found the USA basketball game finally that took place at 9:30 last night. It's on one of the TVs.
Oh, don't tell me what happens.
Okay, I don't
DVRing it to watch the replay.
Apparently, Damian Lillard makes every shot. Is what happens. Devin Booker 16 points in that game last night, and he was asked just about the experience right now and the quick adjustment to being on the other side of the planet after playing in the NBA Finals.
It was new experience. But the flight was well, man, just trying to get some sleep for real and, you know, adjusting to the time zone out here. But, you know, the past couple nights, you know, I've got some great rest, you know, so obviously this game felt a lot better than the last one.
Now, he's only played two games over there, but he was also asked about the difference playing NBA basketball or international basketball.
One, just the rules of the game. The spacing and what I said earlier, just adjusting to the basketball. But I've only got two games under my belt, you know, as far as international play. So and I think after a few more games, I'd have a better answer for you.
How much of their struggling during the preliminaries and then in game one against France, Jared, how much of it do you think is just the different style of play?
I don't know.
Cool. Okay. I'm glad I asked. No, not only did you not say I don't know, you then did
not
elaborate.
It's not any different than it's been in all the other Olympics where they've crushed people.
Yeah, but a lot of these guys haven't been there.
Yeah, but I mean, I've gone through this. To me, I'm naive, obviously, I know the international competition has gotten better, and it's been that way for several Olympics now. I knew they didn't get, like, the dream team, but I thought Kevin Durant, Damian Lillard, and whoever, you know, the other...
Jason Tatum, Devin Booker.
Bam Adebayo.
Yeah.
I thought that was more than enough to not struggle. I thought maybe they'd have close games versus teams. I didn't think they lost two preliminary and one already in the Olympics. So I did not think they'd struggle.
But they,
so I don't know the reason.
If they win out from here on out, right? I mean, they were still favored even after they lost to France in the opener. If they win out, doesn't it kind of lend some credence to the idea that it was just, okay, it takes them a little bit of time to not only learn how to play together, but to sort of adjust to the rules? You're probably not going to get as many free throws internationally as you might expect fouls to be called in the NBA, right? Like, I mean, there are teams, we all know who they are, and there's certain players that they go to the hoop not even looking to shoot. They just are looking for the foul. You don't really get that in the Olympics.
Right, but James Harden's not on the team, so.
Yeah, I know. I didn't want to say his name. I don't know. It's an adjustment. Otherwise, they're going to go out there and not win the gold, and everybody's going to freak out and wonder what's going on. One more from Devin.
You remember
Booker.
That the team in 2004 that won the bronze, I believe it was, in Greece?
Yeah.
And they had LeBron James and Carmelo, and Larry Brown just refused to play them because they were either rookies or second-year players.
Turned out that was a really smart move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those guys never ended up being any good.
No, they never. Whatever happened to those
guys? And hey, look, I mean, we won bronze, which I'm sure is why we were sending our best players over there. It is a good team, though. Devin Booker on getting to play alongside Damian Lillard.
It's a dream come true. You know, it's something that, you know, I've studied and I've watched before. And what I said earlier, you know, the chance to represent your country is, you know, the most prestigious event in basketball. You know, so it's been an honor to, you know, grace the court with the talent that we have out there. And, you know, not just the players, the coaching staff, the training staff. You know, it's a great experience. And, you know, I'm taking it all in and I'm enjoying it. And we're having a good time with it.
Booker started 16 points, was second only to Dame. So, I mean, it is very possible that those are like the two guys that lead the way.
Could be. We have 30 seconds left.
Oh, my gosh.
The Coyotes just signed goalie Carter Hutton.
Okay.
Does that mean the end
of Darcy Kuemper?
Yeah.
Not necessarily, but I think if they get a good offer for Kuemper, they would certainly listen. I'll just say that. That move doesn't necessarily mean the end of it, though.
Okay.
All right, thanks to Sarah Cazell for joining us for a little bit. Darren Urban as well. For Jarrett Carlin, Luke Lipinski. Burns and Gambo is next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.